Jesus invited them to come and to sit in his presence. And I pray that as our Transformers Sunday School carries on this morning, that you would bless the students and the teachers, and that these young ones would be drawn close to you. And I pray now for us as we continue here, that you would speak to us. Pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, would you please turn to the Gospel of Mark? And I want to read a few verses from chapter 6. So Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Drop down to verse 12. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And now down to verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. There is a ballad and there is a folk tale about a man named John Henry. John Henry was a tireless railroad worker, and his story is the stuff of American legend. The ballad goes, part of it goes like this. John Henry said to his captain, "A man is nothing but a man, but before I let your steam drill beat me down, I'd die with a hammer in my hand. Lord, Lord, I'd die with a hammer in my hand." Now, the story of John Henry, which many people believe to be true, is the ultimate battle of man versus machine. John Henry represented the hearts of the working men who struggled to keep their jobs on the railroad as machines began moving in to do their work. As the tale goes, John Henry was an ex-slave who went to work on the railroad as a steel driver for the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad, or the C&O Railroad. His job was hitting steel spikes into rocks, and he was the fastest and the strongest worker on the line. Now, when the owners of the C&O Railroad decided to drill right through Big Bend Mountain in West Virginia, instead of building the railroad around it, many workers lost their lives because of the dangerous work. But not John Henry. He drove spike after spike, digging his way through the mountain. Now, one day, a salesman appeared. The salesman appeared touting the efficiency and the speed of a new steam-powered drill. The workers arranged a contest. John Henry versus the machine. So the contest began. And when the dust had settled, John Henry had dug a 14-foot or a 4-meter hole, but the machine had only dug a 9-foot or nearly 3 meters in length. John Henry had won. All of the workers had celebrated his victory, while John Henry himself toppled over and died from exhaustion. Death from overwork. Now, such may be celebrated in folk tales and ballads, but the man from Galilee has a much more common sense approach to life. As we have just read, Jesus knows that we need time for quiet and rest. And we especially need this in a world that promotes busyness as a virtue and awards overworked people with higher status. Taking the afternoon off for a round of golf or enjoying a beach holiday at a five-star resort used to be signs of, quote, having made it. Those used to be the signs of success. But according to a new study from researchers at Harvard, people increasingly perceive other busy and overworked people as having higher status. This study, which was reported in Forbes last year, in an article called "Having No Life is the New Aspirational Lifestyle," relied on a number of experiments. First, the researchers combed through social media posts by celebrities and found that 1 in 10, more than 1 in 10, were about being too busy and not having a life. That's what they were proud of. In another experiment, 100 participants were asked to read a fictional letter from a quote-unquote friend named Daniel. There were two versions. In one version, Daniel complained about being crazy busy and not having any time to watch TV. In another version, he talked about being relaxed and often watching sports on TV. And then on a scale of 1 to 7, the participants ranked the busy Daniel more than twice as high on a measure of wealth and social status as they ranked leisurely Daniel. It's those who seem to be the busiest who are elevated in status in the eyes of others. The study also pointed to a number of ads that reflect our value on being hyper busy. Here's some examples. There was a recent Rolex ad which asked, "Checking his watch costs Bill Gates $300 a second. What is your time worth?" There was an ad campaign for the Wall Street Journal. In the ad, it features celebrities reading the paper with the tagline, "People who don't have time make time to read the Wall Street Journal." And then there was a recent Cadillac ad. In the ad, there's a middle-aged actor sitting by the pool, and he says, "Why do we work so hard? Other countries, they work, they stroll home, they stop by the cafe, they take August off." Off! Why aren't we like that? "Because we are crazy, driven, hard-working believers, that's why." The researchers concluded that our new conspicuous consumption, it's no longer about scarce things like jewelry or money or cars. Instead, it's all about saying, "I am the scarce resource, and therefore I am valuable. Displaying one's busyness at work and lack of leisure time operates as a visible signal of status in the eyes of others. Jesus, however, counters this aspirational lifestyle by saying, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." We discover in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and in Luke chapter 4, verse 42, that Jesus himself was in the habit of retreating to solitary places to pray, to find quiet and rest, to be refreshed and nourished. Jesus had a common sense or a balanced approach to life, and he encouraged the same in his disciples. And I want to suggest this morning that maybe it's time for some of you to bring some common sense or some balance into your own life. Maybe it's time for you to prioritize getting some quiet and rest back into your life. And for you to do this, you will need to have a very basic understanding about work or activity or ministry. What do you need to understand about work, about activity or ministry? First of all, we are created to work. From the very beginning, it was God's plan, it was his ideal for us to work. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, this is what we read. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we read, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." So we were created to work. That was God's plan. That was his ideal for people, to work. Now, the second thing we need to understand about work is that we are created to do good work. We are created to work, yes, and we are created to do good work. You see, not all work is created equal. Not all work is worthy of our involvement. Paul makes this clear in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, when he says, "In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work." So we are created to work, and we are created to do good work, to do noble work, not ignoble work, but good, noble work. Now the question is, how do we determine what is good work? What is noble work? Well, I'm going to suggest one of the things that you could do is survey the Bible and see what kind of work is highlighted or commended in the Bible. For example, think about the metaphorical descriptions of God. God is described in the scriptures as a potter, a metal worker, a garment maker, a dresser, a gardener, a farmer, a wine maker, a shepherd, a tent maker, a builder, an architect, a musician, and a composer. Now, I would like to suggest that if God is willing to identify himself with these professions, then they must be very good professions for us to be involved in. So you could study the scriptures and see what is highlighted as good work to do. Now, in addition to studying the Bible, I want to suggest to you three other ways to help you determine what work is good work. Number one, and this is not in order of priority, but I'm going to give you three ways in which you can determine what is good work. Number one, whatever is done to the glory of God is good work. Number two, whatever is done for the edification and aid of human beings is good work. Number three, whatever is done under the inspiration and help of the Holy Spirit is good work. I'll just repeat those quickly because I see some of you are taking notes. Whatever is done to the glory of God is good work. Whatever is done for the edification and aid of human beings is good work. And whatever is done under the inspiration and help of the Holy Spirit is good work. We are created to work. We are created to do good, to do noble work. Here's the third thing we need to know about work. We are created to experience deep satisfaction when we work. Now, if you ask an economist to define work, here's one of the definitions that they will give. They will simply say that work is whatever we do to live or survive. But the scriptures present a more grand perspective on work. For example, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 16 says, "The wages of the righteous bring them life, but the income of the wicked brings them punishment." In Isaiah 3, verse 10, it says, "Tell the righteous it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds." Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does." And so when you do good work, you will experience deep satisfaction. And if you are not experiencing deep satisfaction, it may be time to find different work. If you are not experiencing deep satisfaction, it may be time for you to transform your present approach to your present work. So either you need to find different work or you need to transform your approach to the work you are now doing. And let me make a suggestion. One of the most important acts of transformation in your present work situation that you can make is to begin incorporating the work of the servant. And this was the topic of my sermon a couple of weeks ago. But you can transform your present work by incorporating the work of the servant into your present work. And what is the work of the servant? The work of the servant is proclaiming the good news and healing or helping others. The way you can transform your approach to your work now is to focus on proclaiming the good news and seeking to heal and help others in and through your present employment. Theologian and pastor Frederick Buechner said, "Work is the place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need." You can use your work as an opportunity to meet deep needs. And as you do that, your gladness and your satisfaction will increase. So work. Do good work. Experience deep satisfaction when you work. And one more thing I want us to understand about work. And this is to the point of our text today. We are created to rest after a time of work. "Come with me by yourselves," Jesus says, "to a quiet place and get some rest." Jesus was looking out for the well-being of his friends, and he was incorporating a divinely inspired common sense rhythm into life. Back in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we are told, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." God rested. Imagine that. He rested. Jesus not only observed and respected the Sabbath as originally instituted by God, but he also took time alone to experience communion or fellowship with God. And he told his followers to get to a quiet place and get some rest. As reported last March in the Harvard Business Review, recent studies are showing that taking time for silence restores the nervous system, helps sustain energy, and conditions our minds to be more adaptive and responsive to the complex environments in which so many of us now live and work and lead. Duke Medical School's Imke Kirste recently found that silence is associated with the development of new cells in the hippocampus, which is that key brain region associated with learning and memory. Physician Luciano Bernardi found that 2 minutes of silence inserted between musical pieces proved more stabilizing to cardiovascular and respiratory systems than even the music itself, which was categorized as relaxing music. The silence was more helpful than the relaxing music. In 2013, a study in the Journal of Environmental Psychology, based on a survey of 43,000 workers, concluded that the disadvantages of noise and distraction associated with open office plans outweighed anticipated but still unproven benefits like increasing morale and productivity boosts from unplanned interactions. Now, well before all of the research, Jesus knew the health benefits of experiencing some quiet and getting some rest. Well before all of the research, the man from Galilee, the servant Jesus, had a common sense approach to living a balanced, productive, and deeply satisfying life. And so may I suggest for anyone here who seeks personal status or heightened esteem through overworking, through being busy, crazy busy, maybe you should reconsider. Anyone who has believed the lie that it is better to burn out than to rust out, reconsider. Anyone who has made it a habit to burn the candle at both ends or to continually burn the midnight oil, you need to reconsider. Instead of working harder or working longer, you need to learn to work smarter. And how do you work smarter? The way to start working smarter is by making sure that you incorporate into your weekly routine a day of Sabbath, that you obey God's command regarding taking a Sabbath. And you need to incorporate into your daily routines time for quiet and rest. On your Sabbath days and in your times of quiet and rest, you will be able to find spiritual and physical refreshing by worshiping, by praying, by engaging in leisure, and by sleeping. Now, I'm not going to belabor the point, I'm going to wrap things up, but studies have shown that we are actually less productive, less insightful, less happy, and more likely to get sick when we overwork and systematically undervalue sleep. You see, quiet and rest are fundamental to our present and our future performance and well-being. And so the challenge is, let us adopt the common sense approach of the servant. Live a balanced life which includes working, doing good work, finding deep satisfaction in our work, and especially in the work of proclaiming and healing, and then making sure that we take time from our work for quiet and rest, renewing our physical and our spiritual health. Don't let anyone compose a ballad or write an obituary about how you worked yourself to death. It's not Jesus' way. It shouldn't be your way. Live with common sense balance in your life. Let's pray. Father God, I'm so thankful that Jesus dealt with not just rich and deep spiritual questions and deep theology, but he was concerned about the very practical day-to-day matters of our lives. And he demonstrated his concern that we live balanced lives. And I pray for any here who are seeking status and esteem and are trying to work extra hard and extra long for that reason, that you would challenge them to reconsider and to take a weekly Sabbath and to daily find time for quiet and rest and to live after the example of Jesus. This I pray in his name. Amen. Let's stand together and we will sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And now as you go, know that the Lord goes with you. Let him lead you each day into a quiet place of rest where he will speak with you. Know that he loves you and watches over you, that he listens to you in gentle understanding, that he is with you always, wherever you are and however you may feel. And as you go, go with the blessing of God, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Thank you for sharing your time with us today. Remember, off in the side room, we have refreshments, and enjoy some fellowship before you leave.